Blog Talk Radio.
This is the truthaboutchurch.com. We are a Christian lifestyle network. Here you will find the latest in Christian news, scripture, themes that affect the Christian world, and sound teaching. Find out what God has for you here. Enjoy the ride.
Hello, is everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. William, where are you? Well, I guess he's just letting us do it. This is The Truth About Church. Today we're going to talk about old school church because we are two people, Jerry and I are two people that can tell you about old school church and this mess they call today's church. Isn't that right?
That's
right. It's a mess, isn't
it? Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Yes, because the stuff that they letting people get by in church today, 20, 30, 20 to 40 years ago, you couldn't do that. They wouldn't let you do that. So we're going to open up in prayer first, and we're going to jump right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this day. Bless the topic. Anoint us. Thank you for listening, hearing, and answering us when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Old school church. You had the deacons smoke the cigarettes outside before they lead devotion. Right in front of the church. And then they would go in there and they would do devotion. They would line hymns. You remember that?
Yes, of course.
They would line a hymn. Lining a hymn means they tell you what page, there were hymn books, and they would tell you what page the hymn was on, or they would tell you the name of the hymn. They would tell you the words, even though it's in the hymn book, they would tell you the words, but the way that they sang what they told us when they read it sounded nothing like it sounds nothing like what the words say. For an example, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Well, when they start singing it, you had no clue that's what they were saying.
That's right. Absolutely.
You had no, and church started on time. If it's an 11, and then you didn't have these 11, 12, 1 o'clock services. Everybody's church service started at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday school started. Now, Sunday school may have been 9 or 9:30, but everything started on time, and there were not any 5 to 8 hour church services.
No, by no means.
Yeah, okay. So what do you have to say about all that we just covered in these few little minutes?
You're addressing me?
What'd you say?
When you started out in church, like you say, Sunday school would start between 9 and 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
It was over. It went about an hour, no more than an hour and a half.
Right.
And that was that. Sunday school was over with. You took up your little offering
mm-hmm.
afterwards, and that was it. After Sunday school, then you had a break. You had a little break in between. Then there were morning service.
Mm-hmm.
That was morning service. Morning service lasted about the same time, about an hour and a half.
Yes.
And after that, you went home.
Mm-hmm.
You went home.
And see, Mama cooked Sunday dinner Saturday night.
Exactly.
So when you came home on Sunday, people didn't go out to eat. Going out to eat was for rich people.
That's right. That's right.
It wasn't for black folks. Black folks had at least four kids or more. They did not
That's
have
right.
the money for all them people to go out to eat.
That's right. So a ton of food was cooked for dinner. Like you say.
Yes.
Mama and Grandma started Saturday night.
Yes, they
and
did.
And I mean, that was a 7-course, 10-course meal.
Yes.
And it was just plenty of food for everybody.
Yep, and different people would come over to visit, and a lot of times the pastor or the deacons would come to your house.
That's right.
To
it
have
was just
dinner
enough food for everybody.
It was. Now, church start. Okay, so Sunday school was an hour and a half. So let's say Sunday school is over at 10:30. That
mm-hmm.
gave you time to get consecrated. And to go to your post, if you were the usher, if
uh-huh.
you were, or you sang in the choir, you had your own devotion.
Uh-huh.
You had your own prayer. You prayed. Everybody prayed, to held hands around the altar and prayed, and everybody got in place. And they would sing hymns or sing songs. Now, up to the 80s, it was a lot of Walter Hawkins and Love of Life choir songs that started coming in. That's when the tambourines, because drums weren't allowed in most churches, and loud music was not allowed. So it was on an organ and the piano. And that musician knew how to play both, and they would switch depending on the songs.
Right. Sure did.
And that's the way that went. Now,
and
9:30, you're starting Sunday school. By 12:30, no later than 1 o'clock, everything's over.
That's right. You went home.
You went home, and a lot of times you had to be back at 4.
Mm-hmm.
For communion, if you had communion in the evenings, or sometimes you would have communion that morning,
mm-hmm.
and you would have youth. You would have youth things. Oh, there was no children's church.
None whatsoever.
The children
everybody
stayed
was
in
all
church
together.
Service. Yeah, mm-hmm. everybody had services together. The deacons sat on one side. Deaconesses sat on the another side. You had that, and then the congregants would sit. Everybody else that wasn't a deacon or a deaconess would sit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. The sick and shut in. If you were on the sick and shut in list, they had I want to call it a committee, but it wasn't. I don't think it was called a committee back then. But you had districts. A deacon was over people that lived in his neighborhood. And
uh-huh.
it was his job to make sure that member had everything that they needed. Not the pastor. The pastor didn't come visit you. If you got sick, if your child had a graduation, if your child got sick, you had problems with your children, anything like that, the deacon / care leader, some people call it a care leader,
uh-huh.
that person would see to it that the pastor would know. They would be the one to report back to the pastor. The pastor was just the overseer.
That's right. Anything that that member needed, that the people that was assigned,
right,
took care of those people. They didn't have to want for anything.
That's right.
They if they failed to be paid,
mm-hmm.
it was no question about it. It was paid. If they needed food, it
mm-hmm.
was they got food. They got food boxes, baskets, or whatever.
That's right.
Got it. It was and it was they were glad to do it.
Yes, that's what the benevolent offering was for.
Exactly.
See,
exactly.
It was more than one offering. That first
mm-hmm.
offering was the benevolent offering, but I was taught when I was younger that was the penny collection.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't remember, but I don't remember anything about all that tithing. But like you said, I do remember
right.
the benevolent offering. This is what
they
took up. Right,
yeah.
General office to take care of the people that was in need.
Yep. And the pastor lived next door to the church in the parsonage.
Just about all of them. Yes, they did.
And he worked, the pastor worked at the factory, the warehouse, or the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Some pastors were school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that time off during the summer. And so the only thing that the church would pay for is the parsonage that the pastor lived in. They may give him $100 or $200 a month for being the pastor. But he
was
responsible for his own needs.
He sure was. He most certainly was. They just didn't do all that begging and asking the congregation for money.
They did. They did.
Like,
they would
like
have church and pastor's anniversary.
Uh-huh.
The assessment, there wasn't $100 assessments, $1,500, $5,000 assessments. The most I remember is maybe $25.
That's right.
For is
less.
That?
That's right.
And the pastor was grateful and thankful to have to get that. He didn't stand up in the pulpit and say, after all I do for y'all, this all y'all gave me. He was glad to have that because the saints made sure that the pastor had food.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of people that stayed home during the day, and they would cook for the pastor and his family.
That's right. Nothing was sold.
No.
No food.
You didn't
sold.
Have fish dinners and chicken dinners for the building fund drive. That doorknob hadn't been changed, but they got a building fund drive. They did not have that. Everybody
mm-hmm.
was under some. That pastor was under somebody, and the person that the pastor was under was held accountable. That's who held that pastor accountable. The
uh-huh.
the congregants didn't hold the pastor accountable. The person that was over the pastor that was over that pastor held that person, held that
right.
preacher accountable.
Accountable. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The choir had rehearsals.
And I mean, like you say, everything was done like on time.
Yes.
You could not come in if choir rehearsal was at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. That's just what it meant. You had to be
yes.
there and on time.
Yes. You got there 2 hours later, you missed rehearsal.
That's it.
And
that's,
if you don't show up for rehearsal, you don't get to sing.
That's right. You're out. So
that's the end of that. You had
that's
it. They didn't have the drums because you couldn't play all that loud noise.
Mm-hmm.
That was too loud
mm-hmm.
now.
That's right. I don't ever remember any drums. You know, I'm at the age that I am. I don't ever remember hearing or seeing any drums.
And they barely let you have a tambourine.
That's right.
Was too much noise.
That's right.
You could not do that. You didn't have all the, well, I don't know if you had the backbiting and bickering like you do now. Now, well, one thing they had outside of the church here in Jacksonville that I remember when I was in elementary, they had what they called the prayer band.
Okay.
And that's when you would have people get together at each other's house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every so many weeks you will host that before the church service on Sunday.
We
and
have
you have breakfast. Yeah, and then you have breakfast at that person's house, that person furnished breakfast at their house, and then everybody went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. We had the
and
prayer band.
And you would pray
also.
For your leader.
That's right. We had
you
prayer
would pray
band
for the church.
Also, we had that too. And it would go from home to home. It was like a weekly thing.
Right.
It was every week. It rotated. It went from one member house to the next.
Yes.
And they, like, prayed for everybody.
Yes.
Pray
and
for
if you
everybody
had prayer requests, they would pray whatever your request was, they would pray
well,
for that.
That. Exactly. That's what they
right
did.
Right then.
And getting back to, you mentioned the bickering.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been bickering, but it was not like it is today. Because the pastors back then, they didn't play that in their churches.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to have it. You just had to be, you had to come right. You just had
yep
to be right. I know we all get upset and angry sometimes, but
mm-hmm
you didn't have all of that fussing and carrying on with one another. The pastor did not tolerate that.
Well, if Sister Jones had an issue with Sister Brown, it's going to get resolved by the deacons.
That's right.
The deacons are going to bring those two together. If Sister Jones said anything negative about Sister Brown, they're going to bring Sister Brown and Sister Jones together,
uh-huh,
and they're going to tell Sister Brown what Sister Jones said, and there is a chance for her to defend herself or do whatever needs to be done. Now, quarterly, they had, every 3 to 4 months, they had a conference at the church on a particular night. That was for the growth of the church, or that's for things that wanted to be implemented at the church.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And a lot of times people were on the church roll. They wouldn't come to church,
uh-huh,
but they're going to come for that conference because
and
had to vote for everything.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll go a step even further than that. They even had it for the children as well. Because
yes,
the kids had to learn by example. They had
right
to learn from the older people. They could not have all that bickering going on either, because even
right
during the choir,
mm-hmm,
the kids, the young people, they had all the kids. They didn't have just one age. They had like the younger kids along with the older kids.
Right.
Those kids learn, and they learn well. They didn't have that bickering among the kids either. They
yeah,
got with those
right
kids. If there was an argument, this girl didn't get along with that one, it was
mm-hmm
talked over, and
yeah
they had to come to some kind of agreement. This mess is not gonna be here.
That's
and
right.
And they did that. They did that with the kids as well as the adults.
And the children's choir sang on the fourth or the fifth Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The adults sang
mm-hmm
all the other Sundays. You didn't
mm-hmm
have you had an adult choir. And children, you had an adult choir, and they called it the young adult choir. There was
no
praise team.
Oh, no, they didn't know nothing
there
about
weren't,
that.
There wasn't
team,
five no to eight people standing in front of a microphone with the choir behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have that. You could not wear anything you wanted to wear either.
Oh, by no means. Oh, no. And no,
you couldn't
dresses
have a skirt halfway up your leg.
Mm-mm, no.
You couldn't have
out
a long split in your skirt.
No.
You couldn't
no
wear a low-cut blouse.
Oh, no.
You couldn't
that
have on a red,
not
blue, orange, black lipstick.
And your hair
and you could not
be all
have your hair
colors
colored all kind of crazy colors.
That's right.
You could not. That
be,
was not.
You had to look like a young lady, and you had to look like you was in church instead of a nightclub.
That's right. And if you came in there like that, the church mothers are going to pull you to the side. And they're going to scold you about you having the audacity to come in this church.
That's right.
Dressed
looking
like that.
You that's right.
Looking like you just came from the world. Looking like you just came from the club. This is
that's
a
right
church. This is holy ground.
That's right.
And
they
it should
that.
Be treated as such.
That's right. And
there wasn't
like
a money issue.
Mm-mm.
I don't remember too much of misappropriating of money, because anything that the pastor wanted to implement or do, he had to have a meeting with the auxiliaries, which really were the deacons.
And like you said earlier, the pastors, the preachers and all, they worked.
Yes.
They worked. And if anything needed to be done in the church, they needed anything, the pastor didn't have to come out and ask these people, well, I need a certain amount of money. You know, I want everybody to give $50 or $100. People put money in. The congregation knew, those members knew, because they've been members there for years at these churches, and they knew what needed to be done. So they just gave. They gave. The pastor didn't have to beat them across the head or ask for money every time you turn around.
The church needed any work done to it, you had somebody in the church that knew how to do that work.
That's right.
And they
would
do it.
You had carpenters. Yeah. To do this, and you had people who knew how to do heating and refrigeration and all that stuff. They had those type of people back then, too.
Yeah. So, if that church didn't have it, because you're a part of a particular organization, the pastor could call the leader of that organization, and that organization would see to it that whatever maintenance needed to be done would be done. But you're not supposed to go outside of your circle for anything, because everything you needed was right there.
And
if you didn't have the right clothes to wear, somebody will come up with some clothes for you to wear to church.
That's right, because I know with my family, my sisters, I had older sisters, clothes was passed down. And
that's
then
right.
My mom, my mother, was a seamstress, a professional seamstress.
She did
a lot of sewing. When we went to school, my mom made all our clothes, like they had come out of the stores. And so she would do sewing for people in the neighborhood. Did sewing for rich white people. So this took care a lot, you know, too.
Yeah, you had school clothes, play clothes, and church clothes. You do not mix those clothes up.
That's right.
And back to school happened right in the house.
Uh-huh.
Whoever has grown to the next person's clothes, those are the clothes that you had to wear.
Uh-huh. Sure was.
And you would tell your sibling, don't mess them clothes up. Don't get them clothes messed up. You know I got to wear them when you outgrow them. I'm next
that's,
to get those
right.
clothes. They didn't go shopping. There wasn't no shopping every week.
A hand-me-down from
that's
one
right. You got
hand-me-down.
You
that's
go
it.
To the other person's closet and get their clothes.
That's right, because back then, where I'm from the South as well, and I didn't know anything about thrift stores. They didn't if they had them, which I doubt. We didn't know anything about them. Like I say, my mother made practically everything.
Okay.
For the girls, and shoes and stuff. They had little cheap stores. You know, you get two pairs for $5.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to school, you have to come home and you take those clothes off, those shoes off,
and
you get in what you call flat clothing.
That's right. And you didn't wear your church clothes to school, and you didn't wear your church clothes outside to play.
No, the church clothes was strictly for church.
That's right.
Strictly for
and
church.
And church shoes was specifically for
there
church.
There you go.
And if you scarred those shoes up, you scarred your little white patent leather shoes up, you went and got you a rag and some Comet or some Ajax.
And
you get those scuff marks off the side of your shoes.
How many times did I do that? Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right. You didn't go to church looking all tore down, honey.
And not to mention shoes, the patent leather, the little fake leather. when they need cleaning up, you put some Vaseline on them. You either take some toilet paper or a towel and you shine them. Put that grease all over them and give them a shine.
That's right.
They look brand new.
That's right. And the girls had the lace socks.
That's right.
Now, my mama would sew the lace on your sock on the socks. My mama could buy the socks for a little or nothing, and then she would buy the lace and sew the lace around your socks. The lace had to drape over your patent leather shoe.
And you mentioned earlier, like the hair, you didn't come with all that hair going which way, looking like
you got
just
the press and curl.
Jumbo. There you go. That's right.
And for Easter, you had the candy curls.
Mm-hmm.
Which are now spiral curls. They
right.
They got something new.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go for the spiral curls.
Mm-hmm.
And Easter was a big extravaganza.
Were.
Easter, you had to have a speech. Oh, no, more importantly than that, let's back up. It wasn't a choice whether you felt like going or not.
Huh. Oh,
you
were going
go.
To church.
You were going to church. Even if you went clubbing the night before, if you old enough to go clubbing the night before, they didn't care what time you got in, you better not have a problem getting up to go to church.
That's right. You could have cramps. You could have whatever. You're going to church.
That's
you're
right.
You're going to go and sit there whether you liked it or not. The only time you wouldn't go to church is when you got grown. You became an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to go to church, and I don't mean this Sunday and miss next Sunday. You had to go every Sunday.
Consistently.
Yes.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And you had to go to all the little after-church programs, the BYU, BTU. We had those
YBWW.
In my hometown.
YBWW. Yep.
Right. Like 5 o'clock. We had to
That's
go.
Right.
About 2 hours, about 7 o'clock. Then you had to go home. Then you had to go back to church for night service.
That's right.
You could
be in church until Kojic, they would stay in church late. So, but
right.
You would be in church until 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
You still had to get up and make good grades. There
That's
was
right.
no excuse. For you not to have good grades, you still had to make the honor roll.
That's right. I did.
And the church gave you money for making good grades.
That's right. They would award you. That's right.
Yeah.
They would award you.
And when you
they
graduated from high school,
church.
They gave you money, too.
Mm-hmm. They would tell the whole church
That's right.
On a Sunday. You know, Sister So-and-So, son, and Sister So-and-So, daughter, you know they made the honor roll, and we appreciate our kids. And they got an allowance. Those kids was awarded.
Yes.
A gift, a prize. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So we're talking about old school and today's church. Now I'm going to tell you when I noticed a shift in church. I would say late 80s, early 90s.
Uh-huh.
That's when we started getting these quote-unquote mega churches.
Uh-huh.
Mega church became a mega mess.
Huh. Yes, they did.
It just became a mess. They would accept anything, attract anything. We didn't know that a church could send for a gospel artist.
All right.
So mega churches, to draw people to their church, they would say, okay, they would advertise that a gospel artist was coming. Okay, now back in the 70s and 80s also, the Hawkins family and the Wyman's family, they revolutionized gospel.
Uh-huh, they sure did.
That's when we start veering away from hymns.
Uh-huh.
And all they have done is changed, gave the hymns upbeat.
Uh-huh. It doesn't even sound it, you know, with the way the music is now, it doesn't even sound like, you know, it should be in church.
Yeah. There was a distinct difference between gospel and secular music.
Uh-huh.
But what they started doing was splitting the track. Instead of saying God and Jesus, they said him.
Uh-huh.
and that way it can be played on the secular station, because we found out that Christians don't pay. They don't make money. Well, gospel artists don't make money from Christians.
No, no. It's
so
not a
if
big,
they
it's
spit the track
thing.
Instead of saying Jesus or God and you say him, then you could play it on the secular side and,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything would be okay. Now, the
right.
Hawkins had an issue because, I don't know if you remember this, but the Hawkins family had an issue because the girls wore pants and they wore red lipstick and they
mm-hmm.
colored their hair. They were going to burn in the lake of fire and brimstone for even
mm-hmm.
just for dressing like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. You couldn't do that. So they went through a lot in the early years until people start compromising. Let's call it compromising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People start compromising. Okay, so then the next thing you know, see, all it was back in the day, Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, AME, Pentecostal. The Pentecostal people were crazy. They were too holy. And
right, because, you know, they most definitely didn't wear pants.
Yeah, they didn't
even,
wear pants,
even,
they didn't wear makeup.
Period. And it's
yeah,
still
I
the same.
I don't even know if they could get a relaxer in their hair or a jerry curl.
I got it very seriously. And it still holds to that to this day.
Yes.
They're
yes.
the same way, you know, to this
mm-hmm.
day.
Okay, so the mega church start saying, come as you are. They told us come as we were, but we
uh-huh.
knew that it was certain protocol that you had to abide by
uh-huh.
to be a part of the church. So the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship and then all these non-denominational churches start branching off from Baptist and AME.
Uh-huh.
The reason why they start branching off from Baptist and AME is because pastors got tired of somebody okaying what they wanted to implement.
Uh-huh.
So you couldn't implement nothing unless the deacons voted on it. So the deacons,
right.
they show up to the deacons meeting, and the pastor got something that he want to implement, you can't do it.
Right. You couldn't do it because they weren't there.
They weren't
right.
there to vote on
to
it
vote
to tell you
That's
it was
right.
okay.
That's right. And,
it can be something as simple as the pastor wanted to buy a new Cadillac. They're going to vote on that.
That's right. You could not get it unless it was a vote taken. That's right.
Yep. And so the mega churches start coming out in the late 80s, early 90s, and start branching off from Kojic, Baptist, and AME.
Uh-huh.
And they became, quote-unquote, non-denominational.
Uh-huh.
And that's when all this mess started coming in.
That's
you
right.
You can wear
I
pants.
Mean, and your dress is up to your backside.
Yes. You could wear the long slits. Yeah.
And all the different hair colors, you know, the all the colors that's putting in the heads now.
Yes.
It's just... our fashion show.
Yes.
It's just a fashion
show. People didn't
show.
Wear designer clothes. They weren't concerned about wearing designer clothes to church. That
no,
didn't
no.
start happening until today's church.
That's right. Because I know back then, the young ladies in the church back then, that you could put your skirt or dress on the ironing board and iron it. Start
yes.
It would look good.
Mm-hmm.
You would look
had creases
good.
In it.
That's right, because I did. I did that. I would iron and start starting out my own clothes as a young lady and as a young adult and with my
right.
dresses and skirts below my knees.
Mm-hmm.
You looked like a lady, a young lady, supposed to look going into God's house.
Right. And so today's church, late 80s, early 90s, is when the pastors start getting more control because they didn't have if they had a board, it would be the pastor, his wife, and his family members.
Uh-huh.
So that way, whatever he wanted to implement, he really didn't have to go to anybody. Nobody had to vote on it. And so they would build the church, build their church up until they got to where they didn't have to work anymore and they could go full-time. That's when full-time ministry started coming up. Now, what would happen back in the old school church, the pastor would work his job until he retired, and then he became a full-time pastor.
Yes, he did. That's exactly what happened. That
pastor, but he lived
worked
next door to the church.
Mm-hmm. It looked like every pastor lived next door to the church for some reason. I don't know if it was, that just the way it was, or it just fell
that
way.
Well, the reason why they did that is because the pastor is supposed to be accessible to the community.
Mm-hmm. At all times.
So if anybody had a need, anybody died, anybody needed prayer, anybody was sick, you go knock on the pastor's door, and the pastor will walk or drive a couple of blocks to visit with that person or go pray with them.
That's right. They did that. They sure did. I remember that well.
Yeah. See, today's church, they want to put a church in the hood, but they live in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're not
going to
live near the church because that's too beneath them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To live near the church. And they're going to build a mega church.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 members or more.
Right.
That's their target market. And so they will put any gimmick, spring conference, winter conference, fall conference, children's conference, marriage conference, singles conference. Invite people in. They're doing that, why? To generate money.
Exactly.
Because if you notice now, today's church don't have money like the old school church.
Mm-hmm.
The old school church kept money in their checking and savings account, and people didn't make a lot of money either.
That's right. But everything was taken care of, too.
Yes.
Everything was taken care of, and like we said earlier, if anybody needed anything, it was there for them.
Yeah.
It
so now,
the
today's church,
money.
You can dress any kind of way. The pastor can live anywhere he wants to live. And
mm-hmm.
It's the church's responsibility to pay for the lifestyle that pastor wants to live. If he wants
mm-hmm.
to live in a $1 million house and drive a luxury car, he expects the congregation, today's congregation, to generate that money for him.
And they're going to.
Yes.
They're going to.
And they're
going to
want to know why you don't you want to see your pastor look prosperous? Well, I want to see everybody look prosperous.
That's right. Not just the pastors
and
their wives.
I don't want the pastor to be in the mansion and driving a luxury car and he don't have congregants that can do the same.
That's right. You should want this for your members as well. That's right.
Yeah, but you got something. They just want the pastor is the only one. That.
And they're looking up to him as though he's God.
Yes.
You know, that's what they're doing.
The old school church taught you how to develop a prayer life
mm-hmm.
and how to pray for yourself and not depend on other people for you to pray.
That's
you're
right.
supposed to automatically know to pray.
That's right, because
today's
everybody can't
church,
pray for you and mean you good anyway. You have to be careful who you let pray for you.
Yeah. See, today's church, anything goes, and they're not teaching the basic fundamentals, holiness.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
Heaven or hell.
That's right.
There are certain hell is a place and a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
people
nowadays, it seems as though it's not about saving souls.
No, it's not.
It's not about saving the preacher's saving souls. It's about the money.
It's about faith and the prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm. The prosperity gospel.
That's all today's church. And they want to have clubs at the church. What kind of club? By inviting gospel artists or different people to come in to talk about different things. That's all it's about.
And even back in the day, and back in the day, there was important people that did a lot of good things, but they did not come in and charge. The pastor or the congregation had to pay. Those people really cared about doing the work of the Lord, and there was no pay for it. They wouldn't think of getting paid.
And your teacher probably went to your church.
That's right.
So you act up in school if you want to. Sister Jones, I need to speak to you after morning service, or they get red tail on you.
That's right. I remember my first, second, and third grade teacher both belonged to the same church, went to the same church that I went to.
Wow. You couldn't get away with nothing.
No, not nothing. Because I remember acting up one time in school, and when I was in third grade, that teacher beat me down.
Yeah.
I mean, beat me down. You know, you're a young lady, you don't act like that. So it's just totally different.
It is.
Church was church back in the day.
It was.
Practically everybody got along. Everybody got along. And even I remember on some Sundays, you would have the dinners and things, you know, like you said, we said earlier, the women would cook.
Yes.
This really mean a lot to me. It really disturbs me nowadays when I see people cooking dinners and selling dinners, you know, for the church and stuff. It just didn't happen back then. I remember at my cousin's church, she was Baptist, and they would cook up food, and right after church, the men would put all the benches together. It would be like 10, 12 benches, or it could have been more, because it was a lot of people. People went to church back then.
Right.
Everybody went to church, and afterwards, they would bring the food out, and just the tables, all the tables would just be full of food. You got food, and you got all types of fruit. You got the watermelon, the cantaloupes. You just name it, and they had it. And everybody sat down at those tables, those benches, and ate and just had a good time.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you know
really
what they used to do
time.
Too? Yeah, when somebody died, they would leave a policy to the church. All they required the church to do is make sure that they were buried properly. And they would give a life insurance policy to the church.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times the pastor was the insurance man too. So everybody had a policy, and a lot of people, the clause was there, and especially if you didn't have anybody, you know, a lot of people didn't live in the area where they were raised, or they didn't have any children or anything like that. We didn't know anything about pre-needing your funeral back then. So what they would do is they would write a policy to the church. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the church paid your policy.
And if you couldn't, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah, the church would pay the policy because you're leaving it to the church. So the church would pay for that insurance policy. That policy would be up to date, and the church was responsible for burying you, and they could have the money that was left over.
That's right. And for those who didn't, which it was very rare, but for those few that didn't, there was no concern about that person being buried because they
were going to get their proper burial.
That's right. Starting from the pastor put his money in, along with the rest of the members, and that person got buried.
That's
and it
right.
wasn't, you owe me, you know, the family, you got to give me this, you got to give me that back. That just didn't happen.
Yeah. It was
happen.
Never a loan.
No. No. Never.
That you had to, pay back.
That's right.
And that's the way that went. But today's church, oh, Lord, I think about, Lord, if my grandmother was alive and saw the way church is today, oh, my God. She would want to know, is this church or a club?
That's right. My mom is 94 years old.
Okay.
And it just amazing, you know, to the way the young people, you know, I have heard her say, you know, about how they come to church. Some of the people come to church. And not just the regular members, but some of the preachers' wives.
Yeah.
They come like they just, like they going to a nightclub.
Yeah.
Excuse me, ladies. Could you all get more into the pastor's wives? What role did, because now you have pastor's wives that want to come in, well, at least the trend in the black church, where a pastor's wife gets named co-pastor. And I'm hoping that's a trend that trends down. What were the pastor's wives like back in the day?
They didn't have anything to do with church business.
Nothing.
That was the man's job. That was the man's, that was that pastor's ministry. The first lady was just the pastor's wife. I don't even remember first lady. First lady is a today's church term.
Because they didn't even call them first ladies back then. There was no first
you wouldn't
the
even
first
know who
lady.
The wife was.
That's right. Everybody, every woman in the church at that state was the first lady. They didn't have first ladies back then. There was no such thing. That wife.
You didn't even know the
side.
Pastor had it. You wouldn't even know. They never mentioned the pastor's wife.
That's right.
There
and
was
the
no special
wife.
Offering for her birthday and for their anniversary. They didn't do all that.
No, no. And
they were
the
not
pastor,
standing up in no pulpit preaching.
No. They sat there among right along with the other members. They sit
That's
in
right.
the congregation. They did not sit in the pulpit at all with their husbands.
Then when did this begin to change? Because I remember, because you're saying late 80s. Early 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s, the pastor and his wife are together. See, the pastor's wife in the old school church, she had a say-so, but she didn't make her voice known. She stayed behind the scenes.
That's right.
You wouldn't know if the pastor's wife tried to implement something or if the pastor implemented something. The pastor was the only person that spoke. The pastor's
right.
wife did not speak.
That's right. She kept her mouth shut.
That's right.
Like she was supposed to. She would like to get this record says, this is the pastor's wife. She's not the pastor.
That's right.
And the pastor was not going to let his wife speak like she was a man. He was the head of that church, and he was in charge, not her.
Now, she can leave the song.
Okay,
she could be in the choir, lead songs, or she could be the musician.
I just want to turn to Jerry for a moment. Why do you say that she kept her mouth shut like she's supposed to?
Because
today's modern woman would find that offensive.
But this was her role. She was not to try to take over the church. This was the man's job. It was a man's job. And back then, that's the way it was.
Okay.
There was no Jezebel in the church.
Did you have a bunch of women? Did you have a bunch of women? Or did you have women back in the day become pastors?
No.
You know what?
I know it happened.
I don't remember.
I know it happened, but what was it prevalent then as it is today?
AME would. But you would have to go through more. You would have to go through more than a man would have to go through for them to ordain you as a pastor. Now, Kojic, they don't believe, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying generally with Kojic, they don't believe in a woman pastoring. So you can take all of the same classes. You could take the same classes that the man would take. The man would get a minister's license. You would be an evangelist. You're not going to sit on any meetings with a man, with other men. You weren't going to come to deacons' meetings. You weren't going to come to pastors' meetings unless it's the pastors and their wives. Well, see, they didn't have, you know, like the new school church got 10, 15 to 100 ministers. You didn't have that in the old school church.
No,
there was only
two
men.
That's right.
And their wives ain't do nothing but sit in the deaconess corner where they had.
That's it.
And kept their mouth shut.
That's it. That's what they did. They had to be quiet because that was their place.
Yeah.
They was just the preacher's wife.
That's right. And you wouldn't even know, like I said, some of them you wouldn't even know they were married.
That's right.
That's how quiet the wife was.
That's right. They had no voice. They had to just be quiet.
And you know what? The pastor's wife didn't come with the pastor to eat dinner at other people's house a lot.
I can only remember it a few times because the one that did come, he came by himself. That's right.
That's right. He came by himself.
By himself. Right.
Now she can go serve the communion. Now, if you had sick and shut in members, the pastor's wife could go and serve the communion to the sick and shut in members.
Uh-huh. Now that happened. It sure did.
That's about okay. Go see the sick and shut in members. Make sure that they get their communion. Sing in the choir. Play the organ and the piano, lead a song. Lead a song in the choir. That's about it.
That's right. But when it comes to
the
talking
church
about
did not
up,
have a
bringing
daycare.
The word and stuff, no.
Yeah, the church did not have a daycare or a
no.
school.
You brought
That's
your
a
children
scheme that came
you.
Up in today's church for the church to make more money. I'm not
that's
saying
it,
something
all.
Wrong with it. I'm just telling you that's how it was. That's what happened.
That's right. That's right. You brought
that
your little ones to church right along with you.
That's right. And they sat in there with their adults.
That's right. That's the way it was. And it wasn't a bad thing either. It was a good thing because the kids, back then the kids were, you know, obedient. If the parents say quiet, that's what they meant, quiet. You keep your mouth shut.
If you didn't, you're going to get a switch on your behind.
Exactly.
Right at the church, in front of everybody. You don't want that. There's people going
right.
to peek at you.
Mm-hmm. Laugh and talk about you.
That's right.
That's
okay. And everybody at school going to know about it on Monday.
That's right. that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Everybody stayed in their place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Everybody had a place, and they stayed in it.
The pastor's wife
so
did love- not know where her husband was.
So, Yolanda, and what you all are saying is that you attribute the changes happening late 80s, early 90s because of the megachurch. You
yes.
still had your – well, do you think – and this would just require a yes or no. Do you think that as Christian television programming began to get more popular – because you always had the folks coming on TV, because I remember seeing W.V. Grant, Peter Popoff, Clay Evans, and – those guys, you always had some, but a lot of that programming was on Saturday night.
Right.
And then you had a little bit Sunday morning, and after 2 o'clock, that was it. And
yeah.
it seemed like
now,
I
think, in my opinion, when people start seeing Crystal Cathedral and a congregation the size that he had that ended up in foreclosure and they ended up losing everything, when people start seeing that church that size on television, people want to aspire to that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kojic had a seminary, Baptist had a seminary, and AME had a seminary. Only for men that are called to preach, to be a pastor,
well,
not be a minister and just sit down and do nothing.
Well,
they're
going to
eventually
question,
be put in a church.
That's the other question, because it seemed to be that it was much more difficult to get into ministry back then.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Right, it was hard, because back then, even back then, I mean, go back, most of your preachers were called. They didn't
right.
go to school to become a preacher, a pastor.
Right.
They were God-given. God gave them the gift. They did a lot of them probably didn't even know about going
right.
to school, because if you ever hear an older pastor, retired and everything, like up in age, he would tell you, I got my calling when I was 9 years old, when I was 12
right.
years old.
Right.
They were called to preach by God, not by going to school to learn how to become a pastor.
Well, what they did was, okay, they knew they were called at age 9. You didn't have to go tell anybody that.
That's right.
The pastor gonna come and tell you by the time you get 13.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to start being a junior leader or a junior deacon. See, a lot of the deacons are the ones that got, quote-unquote, promoted to pastor. And
uh-huh.
in order for you to become a pastor, they sent you off to seminary school for a certain amount of time. If they didn't have the seminary school in your city, you went off to seminary school, or you had to do it by correspondence where they sent you the books, and you had to read the books, and you had to do the workbooks and turn the stuff in and be graded on what you went to school, seminary school for. And you ended up with a degree. They didn't really count it, but those were the steps that you had to go through. And you didn't stay, a lot of pastors didn't stay at the same church. They would rotate pastors around every so many years.
Uh-huh.
So if you had a church where all the young, they're not a lot of young people, they would find, they would take their old pastor out, either retire him or send him somewhere else, and then they would put a young pastor in there in their 30s.
Mm-hmm. In his place, right.
To grow in that older pastor's place to grow that church. Now, would interview, quote-unquote interview, that's where you had church services where they had trial sermons.
Mm-hmm.
And they would let different, now the bishop, quote-unquote apostle, see, we ain't have bishops and apostles, you ain't had them kind of titles back then, but if somebody was over you, then that person would say, okay, these are the people that I'm willing to send at your church. And you have to see if that person is a fit. You let
mm-hmm.
them, they would let them preach. They would give mm-hmm. them some money for coming to preach.
Right.
They could come stay at the parsonage. They ain't staying in no hotels back then. Wasn't a Ritz. There was not a Ritz-Carlton.
No, they came and stayed at your house.
They stayed either at the parsonage or they stayed at somebody's house that's a part
mm-hmm.
of the congregation.
That's right. And then
they would see
that,
to it that person would go to make it to church and the different things.
That's right. And then as they became more and more, you know, they became preachers and pastors and all. They could even they took turns preaching out of the same church.
Right.
I remember
they would bring 3 to 5 people.
Right.
And you have to see who the deacons would vote on.
Who they liked first. And then, Yolanda, after that they got good with that, some of them at first wasn't able to get their own church. So they all took turns,
mm-hmm.
and they preached from the same church. That happened too. They preached from the same church, and it was no bickering. They all got along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pastors got along with one another. But now that doesn't happen. You don't see that because all of them, most of them, are so greedy, they don't want to do that. Everybody wants their own. They want their own. So, but you had no choice but to get along. Right. That's just the way it was. They got along most of the time.
Yeah.
They actually got along. And things worked out good because everybody was in agreement with things. And it just went well.
Yeah.
It went well.
Whether you like them or not, that's who you're going to have. So you may as well be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who's going to be there until you.
Well, that's right. Everybody just got along. That's when church was really church. Everybody, most of the time just got along. It was just good. You felt good going to church.
Nobody lost their job.
No.
Nobody lost the car. Nobody lost their house.
No, it just didn't happen.
You didn't even have money. But nobody lost anything.
Right, my family was poor. We didn't have anything, but we were still rich in other ways. You know, going to church. It was good. I even as a kid, most of the time, I loved going to church.
Yeah,
I loved going to church.
And they didn't have a children's church. Kids liked going.
That's right.
They didn't even do things to try to attract young people. Like these gimmicks they're coming up with now.
That's
so what was the appeal then?
What was what?
What was the appeal?
The choir.
That's it.
And they ain't do nothing but sing hymns. They do a fast song, a slow song, and a collection song.
Like I say. The some of the smaller kids, all of them were sung together in my hometown. It was no little kids choir and the big kids choir. And all of them was together. It was just one choir.
You had that too. So the older people had to learn the Walter Hawkins songs. It took a lot to get them to start making those type changes. So then you start having in the late 80s, early 90s, where that's all people, these new churches that started, that was the attraction of the young people, the music. Because also you could not do anything secular on Sunday. You had to be a Christian all day on Sunday.
That's right. All day.
You couldn't listen to secular music. You couldn't play Monopoly. You couldn't play Jack Stones. You couldn't play couldn't do anything on Sunday that had to do with gambling, like rolling dice for Monopoly or something like that. You could not do that on Sunday. You live like the devil Monday through Saturday, but you couldn't do that on Sunday.
That's right.
So there was no praise team?
No such thing as a praise team.
It's
I've never heard
they didn't
the word
sing
praise
any
team.
More than. They didn't sing any more than they sung for the benevolent offering, for the general offering. They didn't sing any more than maybe five songs.
If that many.
Yeah,
so
one was
a
hymn.
So you didn't get a concert, is what you're saying, every week.
No, you didn't get a concert. You didn't get a concert. And they would march in. The choir would bring the spirit, quote unquote, into the church by marching in.
That's right. That's exactly what they did. I remember that well.
They marched up to Zion. That's the beautiful city of God.
Yes, they marched in.
And it was really
nice.
And
they
would say 99 and a half won't do. That would tell church up.
Yes,
started out to see the Lord. And my way
that's
got
right.
mighty dog. 99 and a half won't do. No, it won't do.
That's right.
It just won't do.
That's right.
What about
church?
What about
What about the praise dancing that you see a lot of churches
dancing.
Do?
Dancing?
What
ain't
at
you... it?
No.
Gyrating, nothing looking like the world was coming into the church.
No.
Well, how do y'all feel about
that? None of that. No, they did none of that.
Mm-mm, you ain't do that.
The only dancing you saw is you may have seen a member getting happy and falling out of something. But other than that, none of that. No.
Now, they would let you do, they called it a pantomime or something like that for Easter. And somebody had to come down on the cross. Somebody had to play Jesus and put the cross on their back and stand up there. And that was the play. And they would let you do a dance. But that was in a robe. That was in a choir robe. And it wasn't all this stuff that you see today.
Well,
you move your hand to the right,
not,
to the left, up and down.
You know what?
That's about it.
You ladies have spoken a lot about Church of Yesteryear. These last 24 minutes that we have on the air remaining, can you go into your opinions? And I know Yolanda, you're actually licensed and ordained. But like, you ought to go into detail about your impressions of today's church. I know you all did a compare and contrast, but I really want you all to really get into our listeners about today's church and compare it to what the word actually says. How close to the Bible does today's church resemble? Does today's church resemble the Bible, the church in the Bible? Because I don't recall Paul and the pastors of that era. A lot of the stuff out here just seems like seems quite contrived.
Well, this is how the old school and the new school was really more today's church. Make a joyful noise. What they call a joyful noise is not really a joyful noise. It's too loud. If my grandmother were still here, she would not. It would take a lot for her to get used to today's church. It has become more liberal to a fault. Women are in ministry, but the reason why they are putting women in ministry is because they thought about it. 99.9% of the church is women.
It's women, that's right.
It don't mean
that
they're not called.
Was it that way back in the old days?
Yes.
Because I know the official statistic is
90%
of the church.
Well, I think in the old days it might have been 70-30. Because men came to church.
I know back then in my
old
time, it was a lot of men in the church.
Now it's more like 70-10. I mean, now it's more like 90-10.
Yeah.
It was a lot of men in the church back then.
Yeah, men came to church, and the man's job in the church was if the boy child was raised by a single mother, those deacons went and spent time with those boys.
Mm-hmm.
They came and got them for church, and they were telling young man, you be ready for church at 8:30 so we can be the Sunday school at 9 o'clock. Yes, sir.
That's right. Yes. They did that.
And they taught them different things on how to be a man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was the deacon's job, not the pastor's job. It was the deacon's job. And the deacon would let
the
pastor know what was going on with
what
the congregation.
What do the deacons, exactly what do the deacons do? What are their duties today, other than hold the collection plate?
Are there deacons, though? Deacons are now ministers.
I really don't. The deacons, they don't
exist.
They're not like the deacons back in the day. That's all I can say. It's just a big difference. They're not the deacons of old school. They're not like old school deacons. They're totally different.
See, the old school church, you got a position because you were called. The new school church, you get a position because y'all are probably one of the top giving people in the church. That's the difference. The old school didn't care what you gave. You just gave it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a whole lot. Or you might say, Pastor, I ain't got no money. I'm not working right now, but I'll cook for you and your family this week. Y'all just come by and pick up your meals. Or you came to that person's house, you sat there and ate, had a conversation, and the pastor and his family went home. Or the mm-hmm. pastor would be the only person that would come there, and he would take the food home to his family. So the today's church is the top tithing people that get the position.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that in the old school. So that's something that's drastically different. Today's church, you can wear whatever you want to wear, look any way you want to look. They even doing poetry while the praise and worship going on. What does that have to do? I don't understand that. That's a little over the top for me because, like I said, I'm old school. But they have poetry and drawings. Why there's praise and worship going on, somebody's drawing something.
Mm-hmm.
You got a drama ministry. We didn't have that. You had Easter speeches and Christmas speeches.
That's it. That was it. That was it. You learn your speech. You go to church to practice. You practice at
yep.
home, and when Easter Sunday came around and Christmas come, you got up and all the kids one by one got up and said their little poem and sat down. That was it.
And that's when you wore your Easter outfit. You didn't wear your Easter outfit all day. You wore your Easter outfit to say your speech.
And like I said, everybody came to church every Sunday. So it wasn't this one going to church just on Easter, just to show their little Easter outfit. The same people was there every Sunday. So there was no need for this one to say, ooh, I'm going to church. I'm going because I got a new outfit. It just didn't happen. You saw that same person every Easter.
No, Jerry, you killing the whole denomination right there. The CME, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter crowd. You really need them
now. Well, that's the way it was.
Well, there was no, you didn't get credit for going this Sunday and you don't go the next three Sundays. That's not
exactly
how that works.
Right.
Nobody asked you if you felt like going.
You
didn't have a choice in the matter. You're going whether you want to or not. And your mama would be in the choir. And you could be back there acting up. Your mama gave you a look from the choir stand. You know what's going to happen when your mama come out of that choir stand. Sometimes the mamas would come out of the choir stand.
You better know it. Yes, they did.
So they come out of the choir stand, beat the child, and then go back there and sing for the Lord, huh?
And nobody would look at you funny. The pastor wouldn't
That's
open
right.
up his mouth and say a word. That's what you got.
That's right.
Nobody was going to call the popos on you.
No, it didn't happen. That wasn't even about to happen, no.
So pretty much what you're saying
no.
is that the children back then were disciplined. Because today's children
yes.
out here, I'm an advocate. See, I've become a fan. I wish we could bring back the James Arness days when your child acts up, you can just go ahead and just pray to good Lord to just add strength to your strong hand, and you just back in the daylights out these little buzzards.
Mm-mm.
And that would be the end of it. One good backhand, they that good for a week.
Well, after your mama came out of the choir stand and church was over, you're going to get it from a whole bunch of other people, too. So you would think twice to ever cause your mama to give you the look from the choir stand, let alone come from out of the choir stand to have to get you straight.
And you know what the pastor would say? Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Which for those Bible scholars that may hear this broadcast means, so be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
right.
Today's church
is more of a social, in my opinion, it's more of a social gathering, and they're not really teaching you the word of God. It's the faith
no.
message or the prosperity gospel.
Right.
It's not
like
teaching you how to cope. It's not teaching you that every problem you have is in the Bible. There's a solution for every problem that you have in the Bible. They don't teach you that.
Right.
You're not going to go to hell, so you don't even tell us your business. Oh, that's another thing. You didn't. If you was homosexual, prostitution, pimp, whatever, you did not bring that to the church.
No.
You kept that separate. Nobody knew what your life, unless they just happened to see you living that lifestyle.
Nobody knew.
Sold drugs, you was prostituting, you was pimping, you was doing whatever. You couldn't even buy alcohol on Sunday.
No. It wasn't allowed. You could drink all you want Monday through Saturday.
Yep.
But Sunday, no, you didn't buy it.
No. There was nowhere to buy it.
That's right.
They didn't sell it?
No.
Well, I can't remember. You all came up in the South, so yeah, I did hear those stories before. And see, one thing that I want the audience to understand is this is old school Southern, old school South. And
that's
so
right.
There's some things here that these ladies are talking about the way it used to be. Now, when you look at the moral degradation of America, and even people who are the atheists or people who believe in secularism, the moral way of doing things with separation from God, you do have to admit this country has decayed morally, and it's on the constant decay. You don't believe me? Turn on the news and see how many people have gotten killed on a day-to-day basis. Look up the homicide statistics in your city and compare it to 10 years ago. Heck, compare it to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, you compare it to 2015. So it seems that does it sound like you all are saying that religion had a stronger presence back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s?
Right.
Yes, it did.
Everybody had a picture of Martin Luther King and the Last Supper and Jesus Christ somewhere.
You forget if you're black, also John Kennedy.
Yeah, you had him too. You did.
And getting back to the thing on Sunday, by the drinking and selling liquor, there wasn't even liquor stores was not wide open. They didn't have a lot of them back then.
But they didn't have alcohol in the grocery store.
That's right. You could not go in a grocery store and buy alcohol.
No.
No, those stores was closed on a Sunday.
Yeah, you had to go to the liquor store.
That's right.
Or they called it the bar.
That's right. They were closed.
They were closed on Sunday.
That's right.
We got about 12 minutes left, ladies.
Not partial, but all day.
We have about 12 minutes left, ladies. So what I would like to ask you all is, what elements do you wish would come back to today's church? If you all
have this, or hell.
Okay, explain why.
Because they have deceived people into thinking they can just live any kind of way they want to live, and they're going to go to heaven. That's not the way it works. There's only one way. And for people that have turned, you didn't hear about atheists back then. I'm going to tell you why people are atheists today. Because they've lost their faith and lost their way. And they didn't get their way, so they're mad at somebody. They're mad at somebody for teaching them unsound doctrine.
Uh-huh.
Or they feel that they asked God for something themselves and God failed them. God is just, and he's sovereign.
Right.
He does what he sees fit to do.
That's right. He's a just God.
That's right.
He's going to
And he said, have no other God before me.
That's right. I agree with that. And church just isn't what church should be about, in my opinion. Like I said earlier, today it seems like it's not about the pastors trying to save souls.
Right.
It's just churches, to me, it has become a fashion show. And,
social gathering.
And everything. Yeah. It's not church like it should be, in my opinion.
Right. You ain't learning nothing?
Not a thing.
You learning how to get luxury car, luxury house, and wear designer clothes.
That's it.
So how do you remedy this?
You remedy it because by you got to figure out who's everybody's not called as pastoring.
You got some just doing it for the money.
That's right. They doing it for the wrong reason, and your sins will find you out.
Well, one question I just thought of. As I was going to ministry school and in church in the 90s, 2000, it seemed nowadays that every pastor used to be an ex-something, an ex-whoremonger,
mm-hmm.
an ex-pimp, an ex-alcoholic, an ex-drug
yep.
dealer. It seemed that pastors today used to always be or ex-criminals, ex-gangsters. Was it that way back in the day?
No. They were an ex employee of the working for the warehouse or the factory,
mm-hmm.
being a school teacher, working for the post office, and they retired. When they retired, they became a full time pastor.
Pastor.
Okay,
that's right.
Okay, but nowadays, even with the women that become pastors, you hear some of the testimonies. Who is it that I can't? What's this? I think of a female preacher. Or female prophetess that I can't stand. Juanita Bynum, ex-crazy, ex-ho. Plain and simple. I personally have worked under, have served under the female pastors with being a musician, and they always seem to have the same testimony. Even the pastor's wife that was standing up, I used to be a ho. That seemed to be
mm-hmm.
the thing where every female pastor out here was an ex, you know, was an ex-streetwalker, ex-drug addict, or would just give it away. Like it was Girl Scout cookies or something.
That's because they weren't they did not abide or did not learn sound doctrine when they were younger, or they strayed away from the sound doctrine that they received earlier.
Yes, right.
In their life.
Some of these pastors' wives are older than you. I
know.
The one, the last place I served at, this pastor's wife would constantly remind you at least once a month she used to be a hoe.
Well, see,
yeah.
those people that claim to be the women that claim to be they're not for real.
That's right.
And sooner or later,
they just got the form of godliness.
Right. They're not for real, and people know this, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. They so in tune to those people until whatever they come up with, they just accept that.
Well,
some of the
ones I've seen, if you're from Chicago, look like they came straight off of Madison Western.
Yeah, and they're trying to draw other people. So you got a lot of people. They're ex drug dealers, prostitutes, and pimps. So
mm-hmm.
now they drug dealer, prostitute, and pimping the saints.
That's
good at it.
Exactly what they're doing.
And we falling for it.
That's right.
And don't see a problem with it. And can't discern that these people are fake. But see, you got a lot of people come to church and they fake.
That's right.
They just being fake. They're not real. They don't have a personal relationship with Christ.
No.
And they are attracting seeds produced after their own kind. They are
mm-hmm.
attracting what they already have. Just like I said a long time ago, there are churches. You ain't have homosexuals and lesbians coming to no church back in the day.
You sure
did? Were they singing in the choir?
If they did, you better not show it.
Okay.
They're going to have a parish service at the altar on you.
That's right.
Were they singing in the choir and directing choirs back then like they do today?
But you better get it straight. They're gonna give you a certain amount of time to get that straightened out. Now, if they see that, that's a big issue. And
I don't remember seeing that. It's just the gays and stuff just wasn't in the church. If
because
they did,
in gospel,
they held it. They were quiet about it.
The reason that's
they were told they looked very sanctimonious. They abided by the church culture in the church.
Okay,
now, the reason I bring this up,
there's a new show, as y'all know, about Preachers of Atlanta. I was
mm-hmm.
going to bring this up in a different broadcast, but we can get into it in a different broadcast. There's one particular pastor, LeAndrea Johnson, who was raised by a pastor, grew up in church. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know her story, won Sunday's Best. Well, what did she do that she won Sunday's Best? Drunken stupor for months, gets pregnant by one of her musicians. Oh, wasn't married when she was pregnant, and go off on people because they had an opinion. So then I think September of last year, she had a drunken stupor again where she was drinking Patron, which is tequila, and she was just cussing and fussing and had the nerve to be trying to preach. And she's now, with all the ignorant stuff that she's done, she's being put out there on television with Preachers of Atlanta. Now, I know you didn't have all these preacher reality shows, but since we're in the last five minutes, what do you think pastors of yesteryear would have said about that type of behavior? Because a lot of stuff allowed in church, I remember to where there was a gay guy in church and everybody knew he was gay, but you know, everyone was like, okay, he can go to church, keep all the kids away from him.
If you was like those preachers of Atlanta or L.A., the pastors of yesteryear, they wouldn't have tolerated it. They wouldn't have had.
Well, you
none
wouldn't
of that
be
mess.
Under them. You wouldn't be their pastor. You would not. They would not license or ordain you.
Not at
they
all.
They wouldn't license and ordain the person that you were just talking about.
That's
nobody's
right.
gonna
it,
be
it
her covering
happen.
Back in the day.
Mm-mm.
Would they be
right?
Would they well? Would these preachers on TV that we know are clearly crooked because we talk about in a lot of our shows, would they be branded as heretics today? I mean, well, back in the day, would they have been branded as heretics? And
they would be going to hell. They would let you know they are going to hell. Mm-hmm. If you follow anybody like that, they're going
to
hell, and you're going to be judged for being under them, so you're going to go to hell too.
That's right.
So what happened? What happened to where?
Mega?
Exactly. Is there less emphasis on God today? Because one thing I noticed about, as a 38-year-old man, one thing I noticed that's changed in my lifetime, growing up in the 80s and going to church in the late 80s and 90s, is that the emphasis on prayer used to be where I remember the older people who were retired would get up and go to prayer. You only had 7-8 people. You have a mega church and go to prayer. You can have 10,000 members, like some of the churches in Chicago I know of, and you get less than 30 people to show up for prayer.
Right,
but there's
seeming
to be less emphasis on prayer today. And I know the old people can sit up and pray. Now, they can sit up for hours and pray.
Yeah.
It's all about the money now, that's all. It's just all about the money.
Well, see, the confession, the pastor giving you a confession or you writing up your own confession, that has taken the place of prayer. A confession is not helping you develop. You reciting a confession is not helping you develop a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just a confession. And just because you're confessing it, that don't mean that it's going to manifest. There are some things that you have to do. You need to get instructions from God. You need to know that you are where God wants you to be. Are you in God's permissive will or his perfect will? You need to find that out. If you're under somebody that's not called to pastor and you're in a leadership position of somebody that's not called to pastor, what are you going to tell God at the judgment seat? There's no excuse you can come up with. You got to examine your own heart. They had a song, Search Me, Lord. If it's anything that shouldn't be, I'm asking you to take that. I'm asking you to search my heart.
That's right.
Or it said, yes, I found the King of Kings. He changed my mind so I can think right. Changed my eyes so I can see right. Changed my tongue so I can talk right. Yes, I found the King of Kings.
Yeah,
these people,
right,
you can't tell the difference from secular people and Christian people. I see people on TV talking about, I'm a Christian. I'm like, you are? Oh, okay.
And with that, everyone, we only got a few seconds left. On behalf of Yolanda, Jerry, this is Will saying be blessed. They will be back next week with another show for you about how things used to be and how things should be. Until then, take care.
Thank you.